There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 691, October 1st, 2015. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. This edition of F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the all-conquering GP2 engine from Honda. Thank you, Nando-san.
On today's program, will Fernando go back to Renault? Verstappen could be the next El Machismo. And Ron Dennis, once again, not happy with Fernando. Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King. We have 50 words on the Japanese Grand Prix and another great and exciting episode of Tech Talk with Tim. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you. And you said that Nando may be going back to Renault. I have a feeling he's going back somewhere.
You mean he's going back to Oviedo?
Oviedo, or I don't know, Hapidos. This is just going from bad to worse to like in the waste management corporate landfill.
Well, the biggest problem is, remember when Fernando started the race at Le Mans by dropping the flag a few years ago?
Yes.
And remember the concussion he had at the beginning of this season?
Yes.
Okay, what happened was, he was in the McLaren, started dreaming about the flag at Le Mans, his buddy Mark Webber, Hülkenberg. And then he started thinking that he was at Le Mans where they mix classes, you know, LMP1, LMP2, GT1, GT2. And so he thought that GP2 cars were mixing it up with the Formula One cars in a new Formula One recipe.
Man, you'll go to the Mariana Trenches for Nando.
Listen, can you blame him? What else is he going to do?
No,
I mean, he's already playing Atari games in the car.
Yes, I understand that. But once upon a time, there was a guy who won 5 more championships than he did. And when his car was totally, could not even run with the other boys who were on Michelin and he had Bridgestone, all he said was, we win together, we lose together. So, but here's the thing. I understand the frustration and so does Ron Dennis and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do. I mean, the way it's going, it's very, very bad, beyond pathetic. I never expected Honda would come out with such a dud of an engine, especially given their previous success with the very same team. But, you know, I'll tell you this thing. Many, many months before the season started, prior to that, I had two veterans of Grand Prix reporting tell me separately that when Honda was trying to come to McLaren again, one of their requirements was they must have a top-line driver. And at that time, there were only two opportunities, Nando and Sebastian Vettel, and they were willing to pick up the tab for the salary. I don't know how much of his $40 million is coming from Honda, but, you know, with McLaren not having big sponsors, maybe Honda is paying a lot of that money. The least you can do is show some respect, not only at their home Grand Prix. If this was done, Japanese Grand Prix at Fuji Circuit, that's owned by Toyota, one can understand. But to do it at their home Grand Prix and the track they own, very, very sad. Very sad.
I thought it was exciting.
What he needs to do, if the Spanish Western Union guy knocks on the door, he better not take the delivery because it could be in a Western Union mailgram from Sama, Japan, or Suzuka, Japan, which says, oh, your service is no longer required.
Well, let's face the facts here. Their services are not required. They could have Nathrain Kathakane in the car right now, and the results would be very similar.
Very true. But as we have seen, if you have the best package, you really don't. I mean, just look at Braun. 1 year, they win the championship because they were very good. And that's how every great driver wins a championship. If you give a great car to a great driver and a great teammate, then we have cage rattling. And we've seen it at McLaren in the 80s and 2007. So this is very disappointing. I mean, the Honda deal is very, very, very beyond pathetic. But I don't think this is the way to resolve the issue. You know, call it, what is he going to do next race if they're going even slower? GP3 engine? GP3?
F3.
Oh, wow. He's showing them some respect now.
I'm just telling you, I thought it was fun. I don't blame him. He's frustrated. Fernando is a Latino, and the boiling hot blood started percolating like Juan Pablo Montoya percolated in the past. It is what it is. This is what makes championship drivers championship drivers. They don't put up with the stinko. On the other hand, you give a mediocre driver a great package, and they certainly can win championships with that package.
Who are you referring to?
I can't say on this podcast because this is a family show. I'm sure you've seen it happen before.
But
you know what? I don't think Ron Dennis. This marriage was never meant to last. There's just no way Fernando and Ron Dennis. It's pretty much the clash of the titans.
I really would like to know what convinced Ron that this would work out, and also what convinced Nando that this will work out. These are very two different animals. But I have to say, I mean, I just want to get this off my chest. I have a new title for Nando as long as he's driving a Honda-powered car, and that is the Muy Macho Hombre de Petulance. I'm sorry, I don't know the Spanish word for petulance, but it's maybe pisofo or something like that. But this is bad.
Well, for me, that was the only exciting part of the race because, to be honest with you, as soon as Lewis Hamilton pushed Nico Rosberg into the grass and took off, and within a few laps, he had 2 or 3 second lead. He had the race wrapped up. I switched channels, went to QVC, and did a little shopping.
Well, you didn't have to switch channels. They were hardly showing LCH at all. And we'll talk
about And of course, who's complaining about that?
Well, people who are spending $300 million, they should complain. I mean, I noticed that too.
But did you want to see, would you rather watch Max Verstappen dicing it up with Daniel Kvyat or one guy in a Mercedes at the front of the field for 2 hours?
Well, I for sure would like to see the last part of the last half of the final lap. But, this is politics. I remember some years ago when they were having these issues in Bahrain, they did the same thing to Force India because, they were concerned about safety, so they did not get their cars out in free practice one or something like that. It happened in Bahrain. And this whole motorsports feed is owned by Formula One management, not by local track. And this was another thing they wanted to do when Bernie took over the running of Formula One. Smart on his part. The only race they don't do on their own is, I believe, the Monaco Grand Prix.
Correct. But no, I mean, I don't blame the FOM. I mean, let me put it this way. I switched channels and I guess what the results would be. And sure enough, the results were what I guessed. So the problem is, everybody knows Lewis Hamilton had it in the bag. So why don't we show some of these young guns in midfield trying to make a name for themselves? And actually, we're seeing some racing instead of some lonely guy in the front of the spear having a sandwich and winning a Grand Prix.
Well, did you have a chat with Peter Brazier before this podcast?
No, not at all.
You sound equally convincing.
I'm just telling you, that's what's going on. And I don't blame them. Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. And the fans are with FOM when it comes to race coverage. We know Hamilton. We knew Hamilton had won the Grand Prix. He steamrolled this Grand Prix. So what's the point of watching that? I mean, that's an axiom. It's a given that he had the race in the bag. So why not watch something where we might get a little excitement, a little guesswork, see Verstappen start from the back and work his way up. It's exciting.
Yeah, you are the fan that was in the back of Niki Lauda's Brabham fan car sucking up a lot of heat for Nando.
That's true. That's true. And that's the way it is. I don't pretend to be anything else. I am honest with my people.
Well, what's next? Nando and Mr. Arai of Honda having a judo fight in the McLaren VIP area?
I think it would be jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, something like that needs to happen now.
No, it's going to be... Listen, let's just face it. The season is pretty much over. The only thing we care about now is Renault F1. Who's going to drive along Pastor Maldonado? That's it.
Well, they have to get some serious quality there if he's going to be racing next to Pastor.
Serious quality. And I heard they're going to put armor plating on the side of the cars. And then they're going to be called Old Ironside.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This way, at least if he crashes into somebody, he can still come home 15th or 16th.
Exactly. Exactly. So, no, it's all very exciting. Lewis Hamilton has the world championship.
Yeah, but, it's interesting. You know, it's motor racing. And I was looking on going through the TV guide and trying to figure out what time the race will be. And I thought I saw 1:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then I was going to get some sleep. Then I said, you know, I better check one more time. And sure enough, it was 1 hour earlier, or at least with the pre-race programming. So I was able. But I'll tell you, man, when I heard that thing go down, GP2 engine, GP2. I mean, I could not believe that this would be happening at the Japanese Grand Prix at Suzuka.
Yeah, I'm getting, as a matter of fact, I'm having shirts made right now. GP2 engine, GP2 engine.
Yes, yeah. This is gone beyond, Kimi thing, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing.
Kimi saying, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing, that's on the back of the shirt.
That is...
But look how excited you are. Look how we're talking about it. No. This podcast is gp2engine.com now.
Habidos.
I'm serious. See, Fernando is the smartest guy in the world. He knew it was boring for fans. What does he do? He tickles us. With excitement.
Just to give you an idea, you know, respect has a different connotation in Japanese culture. Right or wrong, this and that, you know, that's another story. But let me just tell you, when Toyota pulled out of Formula One, okay, how big they are, you know, and this president of Toyota was doing a press conference, out of shame or out of whatever, he broke down and cried.
Yeah? What about Toyota cheating in World Rally Championship? What about Honda cheating in Formula One? Honda? They didn't have egg on their face then, did they?
When did Honda cheat?
Oh, come on. The fuel tanks?
Oh, no. You know, that you cannot blame on Honda Japan. I'm sorry.
Okay, I know when there's a tsunami, nobody goes looting in Japan. But you know what? You said something very profound on the last podcast.
Which is?
That everybody... To be competitive in Formula One, you have to cheat.
No, that was not my prophecy. It was a friend of mine who used to race in amateur level.
And it's a great, great statement.
It is.
Because
it is.
You really, really, that means you're right there on the edge of the knife blade.
Yes, and that's what they've always, well, look at the F-duct at McLaren some years ago. It was very clever thinking, and then they had to be shut down.
It had to be shut down. Yes. But no, I'm very happy with all of this. We know the season is pretty much wrapped up. Why don't we have some fun? And for me, this is exciting.
Let me tell you what I consider cheating. Dieselgate. That's cheating.
Yes, and that former CEO may be serving time.
Well, you know, I was reading about him that he's still on several Volkswagen, Porsche, you know, different chairman of this advisory board. I mean... This thing is going to take down some serious people, you know. I just hope it does not tarnish the image of or reputation of somebody from the Porsche family. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. A wonderful family, loving people.
Yes.
Until they got caught.
Well, you know, everybody gets caught.
You know what? I've been caught a couple of times myself. Yeah. And, you know, that's just part of the game. But nevertheless, hey, Nico blew it. He was on pole position. He should have won this race, but somebody opened up a can of called whoop-ass.
No, you know, I'll tell you. When I saw the difference in the timing between the two drivers I mean, if he was faster by half a second, then I'd say, or, you know, even 0.3 of a second, you know, it's a very big time, lifetime in Formula One if you're that fast. But when I saw the difference, I just knew that LCH is going to, you know, give him another, you know, some mochi ice cream.
Yes. Oh, no. Very, very true. I thought it was fascinating. I was happy that Valtteri Bottas out-qualified Felipe Massa. I just want to mention that Fernando Alonso out-qualified Jenson Button.
Yeah, but you should say that only once.
But I say it every week.
No, lately you've been saying Jenson Button has out-qualified Nando.
No. Last week he out-qualified Jenson Button. This week he out-qualified Jenson Button. So there you have it. Yeah, and Alexander Rossi, you know, hanging in there.
Well, you know, he's doing what you can do with Maynard, Marussia, whatever they're called these days. Oh, but, you know, they are getting Mercedes engine, which is a thing for them. But here is the thing that, you know, the news report is that Mercedes is giving them this engine, and the rumor mill is that they are giving them a discount, and the discount is to be used against bringing Pascal Wehrlein into the team, which is a young German driver. It looks like he's on the same program as Lewis Hamilton. I think he's mixed race, but, you know, that's just saying as a fact, not good or bad or anything like that. But the kid is very quick racing driver. He's in DTM these days. And if you recall, several months ago, he took part. He pretty much has some sort of a record that in one day he tested for two different Formula One teams. Of course, both were Mercedes powered. So I will not be surprised that Pascal Wehrlein gets a seat. And then, of course, Will Stevens and Alexander Rossi can play jiu-jitsu among themselves.
Absolutely. And don't forget to mention that Williams will be sharing technical tidbits with Manor. They've made an agreement. So I'm glad for Manor. This could shoot Manor into the way of Haas F1.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Williams is going to provide them the gearbox and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, that they should improve for sure. How far they will go, I mean, it's pretty safe to guess that they should be duking out with Haas F1, but I don't think they're going to catch up to the level of Williams right now.
No, and, of course, the big question, what's going to happen to Red Bull? Very, very interesting. I was also very impressed with Nico Hülkenberg. He had a good race in Japan, finishing in sixth. Outstanding.
Yeah, but, you know, with his contract extension with Force India, the sad part is that he has now missed out on the boat to a top team.
Because
as we have discussed so many times, you know, new talent is coming up in another year. Max Verstappen, who, by the way, now has a driving license to drive on the streets, he will be, you know, a kid with 2 years experience. And, you know, slowly everybody is becoming a Max fan just because the kid is very talented. And then who knows? But, you know, the thing is scary is that if Mercedes keeps this edge, okay, and we all know nothing is forever. I mean, if they keep this package and driver lineup for the next 2 years and this advantage they have, LCH could be looking at five championships in a not too far distance.
Oh, I think he is looking at five championships. I don't see anybody with the rules the way they are. It's impossible. I mean, if you just do the math and do a quick graph or pie chart, you'll see that it is absolutely impossible for anybody to pass them. Maybe get close like Ferrari is, but with the lack of testing, and now we're talking about getting rid of wind tunnels. No. He has it in the bag, unless he falls off a donkey while he's visiting the Grand Canyon. I mean, that's what's going to stop the championships from rolling in at the Hamiltons, is a silly accident where he breaks his leg or something while visiting.
Tennis on a motorcycle like Montoya.
Correct, or, you know, checking out the hip-hop locations in Compton.
Yes. Yeah, so it will be interesting to see. But, you know, Ferrari has made a tremendous leap in compared to where they were last year. So, you know, teams can be toppled down.
I mean, absolutely. No. The toppling will come. It's just not going to be as quickly as it used to be 10 years ago. Now we're going to talk about, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. You know, we're already talking. I mean, 2016 is actually not even really spoken about because everybody's concentrating on what's coming in 2017. Because in 2016 we have the same package.
Yeah.
So we're already thinking about 2017. They're already talking about revamping engine rules for 2020. No, I hate to say it, but what we have is going to be for a couple more years.
Yeah, you know, but look at the, you know, you always have to make lemonade from a lemon. If you look at the Hamilton and LCA, Nico saga, every time Hamilton wins a race, it's a positive for Nico also. And you know how?
He gets a paycheck?
No. It automatically updates his resume and confirms with the Lewis Hamilton stamp of approval that he is a qualified, well-qualified, solid number two at any top team.
Absolutely. And what happens, you get a test to be a solid, qualified number two, and that's you have to say Rubens Barrichello backwards.
Oh, wow.
Yep, and he's apparently he passed the test.
And you also get a free lunch with Fisico.
Exactly. Bravo, bravo, bravo. No, it's going to be up to Nico whether he wants to stay at Mercedes. But there's nowhere to go. I mean, don't forget, you know, we use the term top team. So what if Hulkenberg was signed to a top team called McLaren? It'd be, you know, he'd wish he'd be over at Force India. What about the top team over at Red Bull? The top team is not tops anymore. You know, a lot of our top teams are flipped their top. And Red Bull, which was really a top team, they don't even have a motor for next year yet.
You know, it's looking very, very sad for them because they have 50 Grand Prix wins and 4 Drivers' Championship. And looks like what they want is a Ferrari factory engine, like the same as the Scuderia Ferrari. And Sergio Marchionne is saying, no, I'm from Canada. I'm going to give you some ice hockey to play and number two engines.
That's how Ferrari has always done it.
Yeah. So now the big wigs are saying that they're going to pull out. Maybe they will. They have the money to pay the, you know, for their breaking the contract. But, you know, these things can end up in court. But I think, you know, Bernie Ecclestone and Dietrich Mateschitz, they will find a way to sort this out. Maybe they'll say to Ferrari, well, send them the same engine with, you know, minor modification. Let me give you another $50 million a year. Because do you remember when we had the Grand Prix, whatever association it was that we're going to set up a breakaway series?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and everybody was involved, Toyota, Red Bull, Ferrari, blah, blah, blah. And how did Bernie broke that thing? He told Luca, I give you $100 million before we do anything. Next thing you know, Ferrari said, boys, you're on your own.
Yeah, and that whole thing was headed by Luca Montezemolo.
Yeah.
So, but that was typical.
I don't know what will happen with the Red Bull situation, but I don't think they will walk away because the penalty will be pretty high. And why pay somebody $500 million not to compete? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I agree. I think Bernie will save it, yeah. For sure. Yeah. But the dominant Red Bull of the past will no longer exist.
Yeah, and they really, you know, did a very bad way of handling this issue. I mean, without signing a deal with the new engine maker, whoever it was, they told Renault, we want out.
Well, it's really simple. All their BS, Renault used as fertilizer. And now Renault F1 will grow.
Oh, wow. Who's watering them? Fisico?
Yeah, thank you. Huh? Huh? See, this is how it works. You throw all that BS around, somebody picks it up, and they start something fresh and new, which will show who's machismo.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy that another big manufacturer is coming back. I hope BMW comes back someday, and it will be, you know, very good for the sport.
You know, how many people? Well, luckily, Jenson Button has been signed, so he's not going to retire. But the sad part is Fernando, Jenson Button, a lot of the drivers that are on the grid that are in their 30s, Kimi Raikkonen, you know, they're going to be retiring pretty soon. It'll be a whole new generation, and it's going to take a whole new generation to beat Mercedes.
Yeah, and, you know, it's amazing, Clark. for a man who dethroned Michael Schumacher. Next year, it will be almost a decade since he won his second and last world championship. And that's very sad for the sport, you know.
It is. Well, you know, Sir Stirling Moss never won a world championship, but is still a legend.
Yeah, but times were different and stakes were different. It's a different story. Like, you know, the Montoya situation, a talent like that should have gotten at least one world championship before stepping on his own career and messing it up.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, talking of Montoya, you know, I think it's the European Grand Prix in Azerbaijan that will clash with Le Mans because they have again revised the Formula One schedule and it's going to start a little bit earlier in Australia. And so Bernie has said that what they're going to do is probably start the race. I think it's the clashing race is the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. It will start after the Le Mans ends. So I think it's possible. And the talk now is that Monty may replace Nico Hülkenberg at Porsche.
Really?
Yeah, so this way, you know, he can crash into a couple of pace cars, couple of jet blowers and this and that and still finish like seventh.
Wow, I'm stunned that Porsche would consider that. But
well, he was their guest at COTA when they had the sports car race a week or two ago.
Yeah, World Endurance Championship.
Yeah, Montoya is a serious, serious racing talent. I mean, we joke about him and this and that, but, you know, once he gets into that car, he is one of the best.
I agree. He's just a little old, that's all.
Yeah. No, but that's what you need in sports car racing, somebody who's mellow and, well, mellow cannot be used with him, but, you know, who's savvy enough to know how to win a race, and he knows that.
That's very true. I seem to agree with that, but we'll see what happens. I think Fernando would be a better choice.
Well, he's going to go and say, GT3 engine.
What's wrong with that?
I don't think the German masters will like that.
Yeah, well, I don't think he was worried about the Germans. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but at least we have the Russian Grand Prix coming up in Sochi. So exciting.
What did you think of that track?
I think it's all right.
It's a typical Tilke type deal.
Yeah, it's a Tilke.
Yeah, there you go, Tilke. Pizza.
Yeah, but do you have any final thoughts on the Japanese Grand Prix before we move on?
Well, I would like to get your thoughts on Max Verstappen getting all the kudos from all sides now. And previously some people were pissed off at him, especially Felipe Massa. And so I think I would love to see this kid blossom into a... You know what would be great for the sport? If he wins the championship with a good teammate before he turns 21. Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be cool. I don't think it's going to happen because, once again, there's no package unless Nico Rosberg retires early. But still, it's fun to watch him. He's aggressive. He's young. He thinks he can live forever. You know, he's not married or, you know, that's what we need, young machismos. And he could become the new Fernando because I don't see Fernando sticking around Formula One much longer unless he gets a winning car. I mean, it's just, there's just no fun.
Talking of Max Verstappen being single, you know, his girlfriend used to be Seychelles de Vries, who is Nick de Vries' sister. But recently I saw an item that he's now hanging out with some lady who's 4 or 5 years older than him. I think she also races and is from Germany or Denmark or something like that. But I'll tell you, as far as he's concerned, all it takes for all hell to break loose for his signature is he's not going to win a race in the dry like that. But if there's ever a race in the rain and he can put on the performance that Senna and Stefan Beloff did in Monaco 1984, then you will see how quickly team will make room for him by, you know, hey, we have a contract with you, but we want you to take a gardening leave.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for an event like that.
Yeah.
And I have to say, with all the press he gets, it's just because of some technical issues. This rookie, the other rookie in the team, Carlos Sainz Jr., he is often overlooked, but he's done a tremendous, tremendous job also, being this is also his first year.
I agree. I think both of them have done a great job, and that's why I hope Toro Rosso sticks around. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a very interesting season to see what happens with some of these teams for next year.
Do you remember, I was just thinking, you know, do you remember when Mercedes signed Michael Schumacher as teammate to Nico Rosberg.
And yeah, of course.
For the first several months, nobody even talked about Nico Rosberg.
No, but Nico Rosberg, you know, he was wearing the pants.
Yes.
It was very impressive, and we were praising Nico on how machismo he was, yes, and how he didn't cave to the seven-time world champion.
Yes.
It was very impressive. That Nico Rosberg is no longer here.
He has left the building at Woking.
Correct. So these things happen. People change. People get older. People get married. And people get teammates.
Oh, yeah. That for sure can ruin your career if you are not ready for your new teammate.
It is. So, very tough. Congratulations to Lewis Hamilton, of course, on winning the 2015 World Championship.
All right.
I think that's, you know, I'm happy for him.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive. And, of course, his victory equals Ayrton Senna's number of wins, so very impressive.
Very, very impressive. And, everybody's in big trouble. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah.
Until Mercedes gets caught cheating. That's what we're hoping for.
Well, good thing is they don't have diesel cars in Formula One, at least not these days.
Not these days, but what about those expanding pistons?
Oh, well, they will say what Ferrari said when they had an engine problem. Oh, that's made by Mahle.
And those pistons are made by Mahle.
That was so cute, you know.
Yeah, but everybody's pistons are made by Mahle, so it is it is.
Some years ago, I was flying to Europe, and the guy sitting next to me was from Germany, and he was talking about, you know, how impressive German engineering is, and he was telling me different things, and he had some interest in rallying, so he talked about Walter Road and Audi Quattro and all that. So somehow the name Mahle came in the conversation. It was around the time when they caused Ferrari to have a DNF. So I told him, you know, when Ferrari had this issue with their engine, they blamed it on Mahle. He goes, what do you expect from Ferrari?
At least the alternators are pretty dependable now.
Yeah, who's making good? Magneti Marelli?
Correct.
Yeah, didn't somebody blame Magneti Marelli also some years ago?
Yeah, everybody blames everybody.
Yeah.
They'll blame me when it's going to come. So
the only guy who's going to blame you, Clark, is going to be like Fisichella, that you put a voodoo spell on him at Indy.
That's very true. It's very possible. So anyway, why don't we take a quick break and listen to somebody that's actually smarter than us and knows exactly what he's talking about. And you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that would be you and Tim.
Tech Talk with Tim.
There you go.
Hey, listeners. I spent last week on a hike, and like most hikers will tell you, there are a few key things that always seem to be on your mind. The beauty of the landscapes, the pain in your knees and feet, and what your first meal back in civilization will taste like. So I spent a lot of time thinking about double cheeseburgers, which have about 650 calories. If cheeseburgers aren't your style and you prefer something like tofu, then keep in mind that an average carton has about 300 calories. So whenever I mention a cheeseburger, just think two tofu cartons. So why am I rambling about food? Well, food contains energy usable to humans, just like gasoline contains energy usable for a car. And today, we're going to talk about a car's energy needs in terms of human food. One of the most fundamental principles in physics is the conservation of energy. Energy is never created nor destroyed, it simply changes forms. The sun fuses hydrogen atoms to produce heat and light. Maybe that light hits a solar panel on Earth and creates electricity. Electricity is made into more light and sound by your television. The light and sound reach your eyes and ears and create electrical impulses in your brain so you can enjoy a key overtake, etc., etc. Per the rules, a Formula One car starts with 100 kilograms of fuel. In that mass of fuel, there are hydrocarbon compounds ready to be broken apart and combined with oxygen from the air. This process releases lots of energy. How much energy? By my calculations, about 1.1 million calories per fuel tank, or the equivalent of 1,700 double cheeseburgers. So let's do a lap of a track and see where these calories go. To get to full speed, the F1 car needs to accelerate. Chemical energy in the tank is converted to motion by the engine. Accelerating an F1 car to 300 kilometers an hour takes about 620 calories, or just about one double cheeseburger or two tofu cartons. However, the engine is not perfect at doing its job. not all of the energy stored in the tank goes toward moving the car. As you know, the exhaust of an F1 car is extremely hot, and that heat is evidence of wasted energy. In fact, a car is only about 30% efficient, so for every cheeseburger the car uses to push itself forward, the engine essentially burns two and throws them into wasted heat. So acceleration to 300 kilometers an hour really takes three cheeseburgers, not one. That's actually pretty amazing. It might not be pleasant, but if you ate a cheeseburger for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you'd have eaten the same amount of energy necessary to get a Formula One car rolling at top speed. At 300 kilometers an hour, an F1 car feels a lot of aerodynamic drag pushing it back, which we haven't accounted for yet. Traveling 1 meter at full speed takes about 5 calories after including engine efficiency loss. At 300 kilometers an hour, we're talking 415 calories per second, almost a cheeseburger a second just to push the oncoming air out of the way. Of course, a car doesn't spend all of its time at full speed, so traveling down an average straightaway takes on the neighborhood of about 4,300 calories, or 6.6 cheeseburgers. At the end of the straightaway, the driver slams on the brake pedal. In the old days, the brakes did all the work, turning all the energy of motion into heat. Brakes don't suffer from efficiency losses. They're excellent at what they do. Nature makes it easy to turn motion into heat using friction. But today, with modern power units, some motion energy is converted to electrical energy, which is later reused. So in a sense, the power unit harvests a few cheeseburgers from the slowing car. Each lap, the car harvests about 950 calories, or a cheeseburger and a half. Not bad. Over a 53-lap race, we save 80 cheeseburgers thanks to the new hybrid systems. Let's keep it simple and say a typical lap includes about 3.5 complete accelerations and 3.5 main straightaways, with a savings of 1.5 cheeseburgers due to brake harvesting. That brings us up to 32 cheeseburgers per lap. Multiply that over 53 laps and we end up with 1,700 cheeseburgers, exactly what we started with on our plate. Of course, these calculations are very much oversimplified, and I'd be happy to discuss them more on the forum. Just message me at TechTim. The mass of the car changes as fuel is burned. There are many short bursts of acceleration, not just a few long straightaways, but you get the point. So the next time you eat a cheeseburger, or food with 650 calories, in theory, you've fueled yourself up enough to do 3% of an F1 lap. Another question you might wonder is, if I were an engine, how much power could I produce? What does 750 horsepower really mean? Well, power is simply energy produced per unit of time. If you have a flight of bleachers in your town, time yourself running up them. The faster you climb, the more power your body is producing to lift your body weight against gravity. Maybe you can get about 2 or 3 stairs per second to reach half of a horsepower. That's no F1 car, but it is comparable to a small leaf blower. That's nothing to be ashamed of. All right, thanks a lot for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and feel free to treat yourself to a snack if you want. You've earned it.
Tim, thanks for another outstanding Tech Talk.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And while you have given away the 2015 World Championship in Formula One to LCH, a couple of drivers earned their championship past weekend. And we shall start with World Series by Renault, also known as Formula Renault 3.5. But Renault is leaving the series next year, but the series itself will carry on with the help of Jaime Alguersuari's Papito, who runs the show. And talking of Jaime Alguersuari, he had a press release today that he is retiring from motor racing. I think he had some illness, which has never been disclosed what it was. But we wish him, you know, good recovery and happy living. So that's our good wishes for Mr. Jaime Alguersuari. Once upon a time, Formula British F3 champion and also a Toro Rosso driver. Anyway, World Series by Renault from Le Mans. Oliver Rowland from UK and supported by Racing Steps Foundation is a happy chappy as he is the 2015 World Series by Renault champion, joining the likes of Heikki Kovalainen and Robert Kubica. You know, Sebastian Vettel used to race in this series, but then they pulled him out and put him in the US Grand Prix. 1 year, and he scored a point, and the rest is history. Roland won the opening race of the weekend, his seventh of the season. Aurelia Panis was fifth. Many moons ago, his Papito won the Gran Premio in Monte Carlo. The second race of the weekend saw win number two of the season for Igor Uruzev. Prince Igor is 19 years old from St. Petersburg, and this I just learned something late today. When he wins a race, Clark, he does his own version of Polovsian dances. So he's quite the character. Remember when Nando used to dance on the top of his Renault after winning a race?
Yeah, that was 10 years ago now, sir.
Oh, it must hurt your heart.
It's just one of those pains I have to live with.
Ah, okay. Oliver Roland was eighth, and this was in the second race, and that was enough to give him the title with one round remaining. So congratulations to Mr. Oliver Roland. European Formula 3 Championship from Nürburgring. This was a serious case of Swedish Rhapsody, or as David Hobbs would call, a serious case of Swedish meatballs. Felix Rosenquist was one of the fat cat throughout the weekend, racing with the Italian Prema Power team. He took pole position for all three races and remained unbeaten during the race also. Very, very impressive. Not surprisingly, winning all three races with one round remaining gave the championship title to Felix. He now has 12 race wins this year. Very impressive, of course. And this was interesting for me to hear a comment from him. He's wondering why no one F1 teams are calling. Well, this is where F1 Weekly can help, in case he did not get the memo from Signor Arriva Bene or Dr. Feel Not So Good These Days, Helmut Marko. To get into the F1 Garden of E as an Ecclestone, you need to win the championship, something like F3, in year one or maximum two, not in 5 years. So he has taken 5 years to win the European Formula 3 Championship. Plus, he spent a year in German F3 also. And he's been pretty competitive throughout, I must say. And the German, you know, all the F3 series in Europe, they use the same chassis. Being 23 years old, taking 5 years to win F3 Euro Series or European Formula 3 is still a great achievement. But do you think any team will call him that will say, come and we pay for your racing here?
Only if you bring $50 million.
Yeah, not many people can do that, unfortunately. Charles Leclerc was able to wrap up the Rookie of the Year title at the Nürburgring. He's part of All Road Management, which is, of course, owned by Nicolas Todd. And Charles was in Vegas a few years ago, and we interviewed him. He did a very impressive job quite a bit into the season. He was even leading the championship, which is very impressive when you have, Felix Rosenquist, Jake Dennis, and this young Canadian horseshoe, Mr. Lance Stroll. But so we'll see how things pan out. Now, Clark, I don't know if you did you watch the MotoGP race?
Nope, I was too depressed.
Oh, boy. MotoGP from Aragon in Viva España. Marquez crashed out yet again. Jorge Lorenzo wins for Yamaha. Well, that was the headline. But the main battle royale was behind him between Danny Pedrosa on a Honda and Valentino Rossi on a Yamaha. And this was an incredible battle for second place. Last few laps, highly, highly recommended on YouTube. Rossi gave it all, and Danny fought back like no one, including Rossi himself, expected him to do. When it was all over, Danny finally gave the doctor a taste of his own medicine. It really reminded me of the last corner to the finish line victory over Rossi by Tony Ilia some years ago in Portugal, Estoril track. So I will recommend to you, Mr. Rogers, please check out the last five laps. It will take a few minutes of your life, but you will enjoy it. And the MotoGP website said it best about Danny Pedrosa. This is what they wrote. In the last five laps, Pedrosa went from pussycat to prowling predator.
Wow, exciting.
Yeah. And, this is fantastic racing. You know, I watched it live and loved it every second of it, especially when it got real doozy between the two. And I was convinced, like, so many times before, Rossi will come through, but not this time.
No, that's good. I'm happy that you're happy, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. And Rossi still leads the championship. His teammate Lorenzo has closed the gap, and there are four races remaining. Next race is, I think, in 2 weeks in Motegi. And that was the track where Rossi and Lorenzo some years ago had an incredible body-to-body, bike-to-bike battle. Fantastic.
I like that.
And what else is going on in this world? Anything happening on the California motorsport scene that I should know of?
No, I went to Ren Sport 5 last weekend at Laguna Seca. Very exciting. Watching the 919 hybrid that won Le Mans. And the 917s of the late 60s, early 70s. It was very fun.
Did you have a Vegemite sandwich with Mark Webber?
I had a Vegemite sandwich with Gilles Van Lennep.
Was he there again?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's the machismo.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows him.
No. He and Dr. Marco, if I remember correctly, won the Le Mans 1 year.
Correct. 1970.
Was it 1970?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exciting. Yeah. But so there you have it, Nas, an outstanding motorsports mondial. And now I am going to read 50 words from the F1 Weekly Forum on the Japanese Grand Prix. Neon Zapper says, while Suzuka was packed with real F1 fans wearing awesome team wear in support of various teams, the home team of Honda management got a big slap in the face by one short radio message broadcast to the world. At the same time, a 17-year-old had the time of his life overtaking drivers and working his way up the grid with a back marker car. Raytham says a lot about the race when the world feed is focusing the majority of the camera time on positions outside of the points. I like this Max kid. Leon Bray writes, not the most thrilling race. It was all over after turn two, and the status quo at the front returned courtesy of pit stops. Thank goodness for Verstappen. Most of the commentary was around Fred's outbursts, with Ron doing his usual ducking and weaving to avoid the issues. And Philip Pegler says, not a classic Japanese Grand Prix by any stretch of the imagination, but I am wondering if the Volkswagen Audi group and Red Bull Racing have begun testing their latest wireless engine mapping systems on Nico Rosberg's Mercedes by causing a performance drop at lights out. Farfignugen, it's what makes your Mercedes drive like a Volkswagen. There you have it, Nasser. Everybody is a comedian on the F1 Weekly Forum.
Yes, sir. So, next race in Russia, and we'll see what happens there.
No, I agree. We know what's going to happen, but let's see what Verstappen does.
Yeah.
If Fernando's even on the team. You know, they could fire him and put Magnussen in there.
Well, you know, they can put Desiree with the same result.
Exactly.
And look at all the press Johnny Walker will get.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have Johnny Walker bottle in the cockpit also.
Oh, absolutely. It's very exciting, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think we're going to get an answer from Red Bull and Toro Rosso on the engine situation in the next few races, maybe by America. We'll see. It's going to be exciting. And once again, congratulations to Lewis Hamilton on winning the 2015 World Championship, Nasser.
Very good, sir. Thank you so much.
So there you have it. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Bye-bye.